Happy Father's Day, everyone. Yeshua will be here in a few minutes, and I just wanted to explain the procedure in case you've never been here before. When Yeshua arrives, everyone would please stand and out of respect for Yeshua and his teachings. And then you'll see people prostrating, and you're welcome to remain standing if you like, or of course prostrating along. This would be also awesome. And we'll be saying some prayers in this white prayer book on the first base sheet, and then on the next sheet, which is pink in color. And Geshe-la had mentioned a few weeks ago that he would be speaking on the Art of Happiness, which was written by His Holiness with Dr. Howard Cutler. And let's see, if you would please, if you have cell phones, if you please put them on mute or vibrate or turn them off. And you're welcome to bring, you know, drinks from the Kadampa Cafe in here. Let's see, anything else? I think that's about it. Yeah. So I guess we can just try to sit and get our minds ready to hear the teachings, to settle our minds from the busyness of getting here. So if you turn to the first base sheet in the white prayer book, let's chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra 3 times, then the 4 measurables in English, and then right below in Tibetan. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha. Tayata omune mune maha munaye soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam chedevadong dewegyudong denbarju. Dunya dondu nyagi gyudong dewar juchi. Dunya mepe de mantras at the bottom of the pink page. Let's do 8 Chenrezig mantras and 7 Green Taurus mantras. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Good morning. And we do some meditation together, okay? Mm-mm. nine round bridge meditation. So, I'm assuming everybody knows how to do. Yeah, nine round bridge meditation. Okay, the purpose. The purpose of nine round. How you do is like you block this left nostril. Inhale. Long, slow. So then body needs to be straight, okay? Body needs to be straight. One, this. Then. Two. Then. That's three. The same, this finger here, then same, inhale, six. So now from both nostrils, inhale, exhale. Long, slow. This is long literally means, you know, the wind element, long roll means the west wind, long the west wind, there's nothing useful. So when you talk about the wind, there's no gross, subtle, very subtle. So that wind, not the gross one, that blow things. We are talking about that. Probably oxygen, they are running through our channels, our body, they are subtle, very subtle. So, last two ones, the subtle, very subtle, there's no, something that no, goes in and out, in the attitude of 21,000 times a day, 21,000 times a day, that oxygen go in and out. So long road, this, like rested, you know. Should we say oxygen, energy? I'm not sure. Difference between oxygen and energy. Difference between oxygen and energy. Any contributions? Oxygen, that's what you breathe in and out. Probably just like wasted oxygen. Probably just, I thought it's better translation. Pretty worrying. Energy. So I energy in Tibetan word is called nupa. Energy nupa. Sometimes translates as power, top, nupa. Synonym in Tibetan word. Nupa means power. So I think I think it's more like oxygen. I think it's oxygen that we breathe in and out. There are gross, no gross, subtle, very subtle. So we are talking about last two one. So then, you know, so the wasted oxygen, I think. If you come up with a better translation, please let me know. Okay. So something that we breathe in and out. So, you know, that, you know, oxygen, you know, I say, in order to properly utilize this oxygen, so that we breathe in and out, so it requires mindfulness. Mindfulness allows us to utilize that oxygen in a proper way, a more effective way, you know, when it comes down on health, mind. So not being mindful, then constantly using that oxygen, you know, like to, how to say, to using that oxygen, you know, the breathing out the oxygen, not being mindful. So that's how this oxygen gets wasted. No. So this 9-round breathing meditation is to how to get rid of that from the systems. Okay, it sounds quite simple, but if you do it, you know, there are benefit. Okay, there are benefit. Certain case, you know, in the monastery that we use our hand to try, just in the same time that you are visualizing, that you are getting rid of that. The certain session of the practice that you use your hand, then you just go like that, then you have to visualize kind of removing. But this, in this case, you know, you're actually trying to get rid of that through the breathing meditation, okay? So then the wasted oxygen do cause, you know, physical discomfort. Then that contributes to mental discomfort. So I've been seeing this, you know, so I think many, many months now. Not because there's nothing to read. There are plenty to read about Buddhism. You know, there's so much to read. So my whole point is, you know, there's something that we here, we, you know, learn together. So I'm just, you know, repeating here that something is what has been said. So then the whole purpose, you know. So I'm just assuming that you come to center, you know, to probably hoping to learn something. So then there's, you know, this is that relatively, you know, the easy to do, you know, meditation. It is meditation. It is productive meditation, and it is easy to do. Doesn't require, you know, a lot of, you know, preparation. Say, setting up altar, saying the prayer, all the preliminary prayer. You just simply sit. Important thing is that you make sure that you, you know, sit straight. You know? So that's important. Liu Tang means loose body. Tong means straight. Liu Tang. If the body is straight, then the channel is going to be straight. If the channel is straight, then oxygen will run smoothly. So that's why you sit straight. Not because this is simply just, you know, part of the meditation process. There's a reason why we sit straight. Not simply because this is, oh, that's how, when you meditate, that's how you sit. That's it. That's not it. There's a reason why you sit straight. Especially the back, you know, should be straight. So, first you use your right hand, blow your left nostril. Inhale. Each time when you inhale, then you count. Here, slow, long. Inhale one, then exhale. Then blow this exhale. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Fast round, finish. Okay. Too fast? Too fast. First, please use your left hand. Block your left nostril. Inhale. From the right nostril. That's one. Okay. So each time, then when you inhale, then you count. Then, that's two. Then, first round, finish. It's called 9 round. Each round, 3, you know, the breathing. This first round. Then the second round, use your right hand, block. Right nostril, same. Inhale. Same, one, the only difference between left and right, actually same. The first block left, same, then right. This second round, third round, not from the mouth, from just from the nose. you count, when you inhale, you count, you end with the exhale. Each is end with exhale, then end with exhale. There should be three, three, three. It's called nine round breathing meditation. Okay? So this is purpose of this meditation is to get rid of the wasteful oxygen that has been stuck in our channels because not being mindful. So the useful oxygen, if the way to create useful oxygen is to concentrate. So second meditation, that's called normal breathing meditation. Okay? You, from both nostrils, exhale. Nine round breathing meditation begin with inhale. Okay? So this one begin with exhale. So this is called simply, you watch your breath. First, both nose. Then, that's one. Two. Then each time when you inhale, you count. Okay? So we'll do that, see how long, how many we can count. Then probably rest of the class, there's no bell to ring. So now we are going to concentrate on our breath. If somebody tells you, empty your mind, how? You concentrate. There's a way to empty your mind. I think that's the only way to empty your mind. Otherwise, long as you have mind, it's quite difficult to empty the mind. So only way we can empty our mind is like concentrate. So in this case, we are using our own breath. We are concentrating. First, exhale. Jum. Exhale. Whoop means inhale. This is called U-Jungu. U-Jungu means U is breath. Jung is exhale. Mu means inhale. So there's I'm not sure how to put it together. U is a breath. U is breath. Jung means exhale. Mu means inhale. How you put it together? What do you call? Breathing meditation? Breathing in and out, breathing meditation. Meditation means you are trying to become familiar with your breath. That's all breathing meditation. Meditation is becoming familiar with something. In this case, when you say breathing meditation, what you are saying? You are saying trying to become familiar with your breath. Why? Because we breathe in and out 21,000 times a day. How out of that, how many we are aware? In my case, none. I'm not even sure. My case, none. So that's why there's wasteful energy. Wasted oxygen has been created, not being mindful. So now, what are we trying to do? We're trying to be familiar with how we breathe. Simply, we are trying to become familiar with how we breathe. That's all. That's what we call breathing meditation. So we are trying to become familiar with how we breathe. So then we are aware, I'm breathing out, I'm breathing in, rather than breathing in and out, not knowing what we are doing. So we are trying to become familiar how we breathe. Okay? That's called breathing meditation. So now, second one, exhale from both nose, inhale, one. Each time when you inhale, please count. And see, you can count 21, you can count 50, 100, so we'll see how long we can count. And I'll stop talking. Okay? You remember this meditation, breathing meditation we do here all the time. So see how many you can count. So here whole point is, you know, count correctly, no mistake, count, you know. So then eventually it has to be very, very natural. You know. In the beginning, so we may, so say, natural means like natural light, and we breathe in and out 21,000 times a day, like that natural. You know. But now when we're trying to concentrate, you know, we may end up breathing forcefully in and out. Or you can know, like then eventually it has to be very, very natural, okay? Comfortable cushions, comfortable body with comfortable mind. That's how you do meditation. Any form of meditation. Comfortable cushions, comfortable body, or means, you know, you don't sit very tightly, you just relax. So then you know, the back has to be straight. You know. So relax doesn't mean, you know, to be enough for that. So, you know, when we do it well. Otherwise, no point, you know, why we do. So nobody forced us to do meditations. You know, so it's all we do because of that's something that you are interested in, that you like to do. So then, if we do, you know, we do it well. Okay? So then, eventually, it has to be very, very natural. So what we are trying to do here, we are trying to place all our attention in our own. We are trying to place, there's a couple of different ways you can place all your attention very closely on feeling, on mind. That's more difficult. You know, putting on mind, that's more difficult than you put on feeling, physical. So then, you know, this is like walking meditations, moving meditations. This is all like trying to placing very closely all your attention on the movement. If you are just moving here, doing, you know, walking around, your mind is, you know, walking around the flea market or in some store or something. No point. There's no point. You're just, you know, physically here, but mentally you are not there. So there's you know, different techniques that people use to teach how to develop mindfulness or concentration. So then why? Why concentrate? Concentration produce peace mind. Peace mind, calm mind. Concentration, according to ancient teachings, that's the only way that you can produce peaceful mind through concentration. That's why, you know. In order to develop concentration, without mindfulness, you can concentrate. That's why we have to be mindful. When we are walking, we are trying to be mindful. The goal is to build concentration. And concentration will produce peaceful mind. At the beginning, you know, short period, short many. So when you become familiar, then feel long. At the beginning, short many, 5 minutes here, then 5 minutes there, like that, short many. When you become so familiar, then feel the long sessions. So then, I'm hoping that, you know, when you learn these meditations, I'm hoping that you will do. So then each one of us can benefit. If you do meditation, you get benefit. Rather than hoping, okay, maybe Gishigele will meditate, then I'm hoping that I'll get benefit. That's not going to happen. I don't think. So then, you know, if you are having difficulties, you can say, you can make a word like out, in, there's one. Out, in, there's two. Out. So each time when you inhale, you count, okay? You count. And see how long you can count. So important thing is to make sure that you don't screw up the number, counting. No, you just count. If you decide to count 21, and see. If you can count 21, you can certainly count 50. You certainly can't handle it. That's not how you get it. So then, you know, like, then you do, then you are, that meditation is, then you are doing this productive meditation, okay, productive meditation. So, there are a number of meditations, so, so this one is like placing your all your attention very closely on your breath. So, breathing meditations, whole idea behind this, trying to become familiar how we breathe in and out, trying to be mindful. That's called breathing meditation. Meditation is simply trying to become familiar with something that we are not familiar. That's called meditation. Okay. So then it's good that you can share with your friends, you know. this kind of meditation is easy to do. There are also, you know, has a benefit. So this now, the breathing meditation we just did, this is like particularly designed to help somebody who's like, I say, who cannot stop thinking. Cannot stop thinking. This is very good meditation. This meditation has been mentioned in one of the books that is written by one of the Indian masters. All the, you know, these books have been translated from Indian Sanskrit into Tibetan. Many centuries ago. So the book, before we translated all the teachings into Tibetan, that breathing meditation, that you'll find the book, that's already been taught by Indian master, what you call Vasubandhu, Vasubandhu, Acharya Vasubandhu, taught. And you'll find that the meditation, chapter number 8, you'll find this breathing meditation. It's particularly in that text. It's called, in the Sanskrit, it's called, the name of the text is called Abhidharma Kosha. In English, it's called Treasury of Knowledge. It has 9 chapters. I think chapter number 8. If you wonder where this meditation is coming from, if you wonder, oh, maybe the Gishikele just made it up last night. If you wonder, maybe I made it up last night. So then you look at the book. Chapter number 8, you'll find there. Then that means that been made many, many centuries ago. So there's like Namto Nyamamis. If somebody cannot stop thinking, then that's the breathing meditation. If somebody having issue with attachment, there's one particular meditation. If somebody having issue with the arrogance, there's another meditation. There's a different meditation been listed there. It's good, always good, you know, whenever you meditate, it's good if the back of the cushion should be a little bit up. Like this. Then it's comfortable, then you meditate. Begin with the 9 round breathing meditation, then just watching your breath. So there's trying to, you know, like say, trying to become familiar with the physical movement. So you're aware, I'm moving my right hand. Rather than saying, you are moving your right hand and thinking, oh, I'm moving my left hand. That's not good. You are moving your right hand, not left hand. So being mindful, being familiar, being mindful with your movement, then that's called, you know, trying to put all your attention in the physical movement. So then less mistake. Every movement becomes more productive rather than just waste, because you know you are mindful. Then all about this, the Vietnamese monk Thich Nhat Hanh, from somebody you are familiar. The whole idea is being mindful. It's like, you know, whether you are cleaning dishes. This is all, you know, based on practice of this meditation. So then, you know, there's not much time left, so I would like to probably share some, you know, information from the Buddha's teachings, especially Lama Tsongkhapa teachings. Okay. Sorry. Talking about mindful, not mindful here. There's like stories like salesmen, not in America, but in India probably, long time ago. The person is sailing the sandalwood, and that's very good. The person is talking about all the qualities of sandalwood, all the qualities. Then somebody asked him, did you ever saw one? He said, no. Like that. Talking about mindful, not being mindful. No. So then this topic that you know, each one of us has responsibility, not just me, every one of us responsibility to help, you know, begin with the close one, okay? So we are talking about universal compassion, universal loving kindness, saying this prayer, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause of happiness. This is a wonderful idea. Sometimes it's overwhelming because you know, when you say all sentient beings, that's like, it seems like limitless that you are talking about. So then this idea has to begin with somewhere. So then, you know, think within your, this has to begin, I'm not just saying this, it's been mentioned in the text. Lembeko, rim, ranetam. Rang means us, means, you know, including yourself and your friend. It's easier, you know, so see, especially when you encounter somebody who's not having a good day, it's quite challenging to be compassionate, you know, we all know it's not easy. So it's much easier if you begin with somebody, some person that you like or you love, you feel comfortable, you know that person knows you, it's much easier. So then you begin with there, okay, you begin with there, then slowly move on to the strangers, then slowly move on to the enemy, so then become universal. It doesn't become like, you know, right away. No, but we say right away, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause of happiness. When it comes down to a practical level, it's so difficult, it's not easy. You know, so we have to begin with somewhere. So now, whole idea, you know, so this is the piece of information that's coming from, you know, Shakyamuni Buddha, Sri Lama Tsongkhapa about precious human life. So I've been talking about that. One way you could say I've become obsessive with these three kinds of truths. There's a couple of topics there. So I thought it's very, very important, especially in development countries. Time and time again you hear people say, you know, I don't like myself and I don't feel good, you know, I don't enjoy anything, you know, so when I go to the beach, you know, I don't enjoy anything. That's kind of heartbroken to hear, you know. So this is like about the precious human life, okay? Precious human life. 2,500 years ago, Shakyamuni Buddha said that every life, I'm not trying to just make you happy, so I'm just repeating what has been said. So then I thought that's important. Every life is precious. Every life is precious. Precious human life, or not precious. So now, how to use this piece of information and to help other people to recognize the life that you possess is not something that you should not ruin, look down, abuse, because it's so precious. So precious. Because precious human life. So, far more precious than $1 billion. $1 billion? If you have $1 billion, what you can do something in this life, that's it. So this is, you know, life is so precious. So then each one of us has responsibility how to introduce or to let people know their life is, you know, so precious. So not just that. So there's one topic. So I've been talking about last couple of weeks. You know, it's important. So the minute we wake up in the morning, like it's actually like finding something within yourself that you are grateful. As a Buddhist, what do you do? when you wake up, you think of a precious human life. The life is so precious. Not just that, so meaningful. When you say, my life is no meaning, no true. It's not true. Not because I just make you happy. That's not the case. It's been said it's not true. It's been repeatedly said again and again. Your life is precious, very meaningful, very difficult to find. Shakyamuni Buddha to Lama Tsongkhapa, what they gain, saying that to us, what they gain, nothing. Material-wise, nothing. They have no interest in material gain. They have no interest at all. You know, so you can see clearly this 100 and 100 books. This there's no copyright. Nobody's making any money. Anybody can translate any language. There's no copyright. That clearly indicates that they have no intention to gain fame. So they are not inspired by fame. They are not inspired by possessions. They are simply inspired by simple mind and simple life, simple way of life. That's what they inspire, you know. Ethical life, moral life, honest life. That's what they inspire. Not they're inspired by big house, big car, like that, you know, fame, power, you know. They have no interest at all. They have no interest. So these are the people said repeatedly, again, 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 again. So we should pay some attention there, you know. What they are trying to say, you know. So they are not trying to sell something, you know. So what they are trying to say is important to begin the day with, you know, this kind of attitude. I say, not just feeling good about, you know, seeing something precious, you know, not just think, okay, I'm good. That's not, it's far more than that. It's like seeing something precious, you know. Life is so precious. So, so meaningful, you know, so meaningful, they're so difficult to find. You know? So, because of that, you know, this is not something that you waste. You look down, you abuse, you ruin. It's not something like this. This is something that you have to, how do you say, you have to cheer up. Just simply knowing that, you know, that you are a human being. A lot of people are getting so much out of that, you know. When you go to Dharamsala in north part of it, northern India, there are mountains, there's a lot of hermit. When you go there, talk to them, they don't seem like depressed. But they're living in like a cave or maybe a small house. When you look at their circumstance, you think, oh, there might be no difficult, no life. But when you talk to them, they are very, very happy person. So these three things that, you know, I think is important, including myself. I try all my best every day, try to wake up with this new mind, this wisdoms, knowing this life is, you know, something very precious. Trying to, so there's meditations, I'm trying to make familiar with, you know, this information. So. So it says so precious, so that thinking something negative about that, that's not true. Believing that my life has no meaning, that's not true. I'm not sure that, you know, people don't think, I'm not sure people think that, oh, this is not difficult to find. I'm not sure how many people they think. People, you know, being here last 15 years, experiencing. So then I know, I heard the first two things, but the last one, you know, so usually people don't talk about it, or difficult to find, not difficult to find, you know, that doesn't come up through the conversations. The first two things come up quite, you know, clearly. Then I say, one of my close friends, you know, shot herself, killed herself. So not like probably now, more than years ago. Oh, good job. The money is no problems. A lot of friends and thinking life has no meaning. How I can help? There's very little I can do, so I can encourage, you know. So from right now, you know. So then, when we should think, oh, this life is so precious now. We should think, you know, because this life has limit. Therefore, we should think good about ourselves. Not just that, try to see there is something very precious, far more precious than anything that on this planet. So we must think why, because this has limit. When? Now. This limit is uncertainty. That's for now. So then just think good. Just think good. Why? This life will expire somewhere down the road. Why you live miserable life? Doesn't make sense. Having this precious. So then just think good. Why this life will expire some point because of that. Just think good. When? Now. Because the time is uncertainty. And treating every day is like last day. Treating every day is last day. That's good. Doesn't mean it's going to be last day, but treating your days, every day is last day. Just think something good about. Not just that. See, this is something very precious. Encourage other people to see that. So these three methods, I tried that last couple of weeks, so I choose topic randomly. So these three messages, I think, is important. Precious, meaningful, difficult to find. So now, the base on that, so goal is not, according to Buddhism, the goal is to reach enlightenment. That's the highest form of enlightenment, like free from. That's the goal. Liberation, enlightenment. It's like freeing oneself from the sufferings. So now, this is the best opportunity or best chance. Lacking this body, there will be very little chance even learning something. Lack of this form, even learning something will take a long time. In this form, we can learn one page, we just read a couple of times, we remember them quite well. But we don't see that's very important. But when you lack this physical form, this human life, it's very difficult to learn even one sentence. This takes a long time. So this is the best form. You can free yourself from sufferings. This is the best opportunities. So we have to develop strong desire. It's a very, very strong desire. 1 minute left. There's 1 minute. Strong desire to free ourselves from suffering. So then stronger the desire is, the better the chance to develop compassion, loving kindness towards other people, your friend. Not having any strong desire to free yourself from suffering, how you can develop genuine, sincere compassion towards your friend, loving kindness, impossible. Because you don't have desire. We talk, we don't like suffering, we don't like this and that. But do you really have a strong desire from your deep down, from your heart, to free yourself from sufferings? In my case, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Most of the time I don't. That's why, I'm still stuck in samsara. I shouldn't wonder. So then how strong the desire is, really free myself from sufferings. So then that, so far I'll stop, so time's over, so yeah. So there are some presentations, so then we'll talk next Sunday, okay? Yeah. Did you want to do the presentation? Yeah. Yeah.
Chris, is this working? Okay. So this first image is just the eye candy image here. It shows, this was a photograph of our stupa on the dedication day about 3 weeks ago. And the beautiful blue sky, the sun was rising in the east, and the flowers were there. That's just to get the projector tuned up. Now we'll go into the presentation. I'm David Strievel. I'm on the board of directors of Kadampa Center. I used to be the treasurer, and now I'm have the title of treasurer emeritus. And so a couple of times a year we try to do a financial report. Here's our second eye candy photo. People gathered at the stupa. We're going to put this on the wall soon, back by the office. And now the financial report. We're going to talk about our budget for this year and then financial results from January through May. So first we'll talk about our organization, our annual budget, meaning the income and expenses, the results of our annual appeal, the actual income and expenses year to date, a little summary of our stupa project, and then a summary. And Jim Green from our Financial Development Committee will also be speaking a little bit about all the different ways we have to donate to the center. So let me just start with our organizational form. We're a North Carolina nonprofit corporation at Kadampa Center. We're incorporated under the laws of North Carolina, and that means we're managed by a board of directors. There's 10 of us on the board right now, and we're led by Robbie Watkins, our center director, sitting right back there. You probably know him. And Shanka Mitra is our president. Lisa James is our treasurer. Karen Mastriani is our secretary, and there's six others on the board. If you'd ever like to know more about that, just look at our webpage under About Us, and down near the bottom there's, I think, an item management team, and there's pictures and a little bio of each board member. So every year, one of the duties of the board is to plan our activities. And that means, especially the financial aspect of our activities, trying to figure out what will it cost to keep our center running and where will the donations come from, and we create a budget. And here's our a little summary of our center budget for this year. The planned income was $187,600. The planned expenses were $185,000. So if all went according to plan, we'd have $2,500 left over. And this is the unrestricted budget, and it does not include special things like the stupa project. So let's look at a little detail here. Here's the major categories in our budget where the income was expected to come from. The annual appeal to members, we asked for $108,000 this year, which was going to be 58% of the budget. And the next item, general dona, just means giving that comes into the boxes with no identification as to what it's for, no special thing. Visiting teachers, $20,000, that meant offerings given at times when people like Venerable Children visits. Class and Sunday donations, for example, if you went to Discovering Buddhism and in order to make a donation in relation to that, you wrote that on the envelope. We'd record that as Discovering Buddhism or a class donation, $15,000. In kind means donations where people buy things and give them to the center or donate housing for our sangha. Special events and pujas, the sponsorships of pujas are included there. Bookstore non-dharma, when you buy things in the bookstore like calendars or non-dharma items, then we get some income from that. So that was all the sources of our income. We don't get any money from anywhere outside of the center. In fact, it's our duty as part of FPMT to send modest amounts out to them and to a few other places. So here's the expenses in our budget. Big categories here. And the biggest category of all, of course, is maintaining our Sangha and our staff. We have 5 people who are paid. And we also have Venerable Lamo serving as a volunteer. She receives no pay and no benefits, but she's here all the time helping lead our services. But we have Geshe Gelug and Geshe Sangpo and Venerable Chuki, and then Donna Cease and Sarah Brooks, our spiritual program coordinator. And some of them are supposedly full-time, and a couple are supposedly part-time. All their pay, their housing, Social Security, health insurance, auto, travel, all adds up to only $102,000. So this is not a highly materialistic organization where people receive high pay. It's very low pay, where they're lucky if they can add lentils to the rice. So anyway, that's 55% of all our expenses. Next big item there, office expenses, paying insurance, keeping up the grounds, repairs, heating the building, electricity, so on, $25,700. Then mortgage payment, due to tremendous generosity in the past, when we moved to this building, about 2/3 of the grounds and building here is paid for. We have a mortgage for Citizens Bank, and we must pay them $22,800 every year, and we'll be doing that for 13 more years. Then the spiritual program, expenses to get visiting teachers here, pay for pujas, retreats, class materials, comes up to $20,900. Financial development, meaning mailings, keeping in touch with all the members, FPMT membership and so on, $7,000. And committee work like prison project, children's program, volunteer appreciation, that's $7,000. So that's the $185,000 in expected expenses. Now let's just take a moment to look at the annual appeal. It was very successful this last year. In about November, there's the request for all those members that are regulars here at the center to make pledges. And the pledge goal for this year was $108,000, and we actually were very successful. We had $113,000 in pledges, and as of May 31st, $71,000 was paid in, and $42,000 remains to be paid in. And we know from experience that this can be counted on to come in. People are take it seriously, and they'll be paying that in through December. So thank you to all who are helping assure our future by this method. It's nice to have the pledges because we then kind of have some idea of how much money will come in, and it's pretty dependable, as opposed to just looking in the box to see if anything was put in at the close of Sunday. So here's the five-month report for the first 5 months of this year. Income year-to-date was $64,300, and expenses were $65,000. So there's a little cause for concern here. We have a slight deficit of $700. And, you know, in the big picture, this is not a lot, although it's true that last year at this time we had a surplus of about $12,000. So this is kind of a change. You know, it would be wonderful if this obviously means that if we could find one donor who would donate $700, it would wipe out the deficit. If we had 100 people who paid in $7, that would wipe out the deficit. But that's kind of the range. It's not a huge amount. That's what we need to do that. We have a very good level in our checking account, $54,000. That's higher than it's been for several years, and that means we could pay 3.5 months' worth of expenses with the money on hand there. So that's doing well. So that's our current situation. Now I'd just like to take a moment here to speak about the Stupa project. Some of you a very few of you, not including me, can remember that way back in 2002, Kadampa Center decided that they would commit to a stupa project, and that all the bookstore profits, the profits from selling books here, would go into the stupa fund. And it did that for years and years. And the money built up little by little. So after 9 years, we kind of took a leap of faith, even though there was only about $30,000 on hand. We took a leap of faith and decided to start the stupa project. And as you know, it's been under construction for almost 2.5 years. The dedication was on May 25th, just 3 weeks ago. And aside from a couple little finishing touches, it's done. And the total donations and bookstore profit to this point in the stupa fund was $95,000. The total expenses to date were $89,500. And therefore, we have a little surplus there, which we're going to use to finish the benches and lighting around the stupa and can be used for maintenance. So this is a project, 11-year project, that's been carried out very successfully and is now near its end. And thank you to everyone who donated their volunteer effort, their money, who bought books in the bookstore. All of that helped contribute to the project. So let me just summarize here. So far this year, income, or donations as we call them, have been at 34% of budget. The expenses are at 35% of the budget for the year. The year is 41% gone. So we are both receiving a little less in donations than we planned for, and we're also spending less. That's kind of characteristic here, that we really pinch the pennies. So we have a deficit, but it's small. The cash on hand's at a good level. We don't have any more visiting teachers planned for this year. That's often something that brings in quite a few donations, so we're going to have to deal with that. And the financial needs of the stupa project have been completely met. So now we wanted to just have a word about donations. I know we have a big flow of new members, and every once in a while we may need to review how to donate to Kadampa Center, and that's where Jim Green from our Financial Development Committee comes in.
Thank you. Want
the microphone?
I don't know that I need the microphone. Can y'all hear me all the way in the
there
back?
There are people streaming too.
Oh, well, then I'll use the microphone. All around the world. Now I'm nervous.
Hello? Can everybody in Pakistan hear me? All right. I wanted to talk to you a little bit to follow up and to really supplement what David was saying. We are so blessed to be in the situation we are, in the place we are, to have these sort of teachings so skillfully offered up to us free of charge. There are so many opportunities here. I know that we're all just so grateful for that. The $180,000 that it takes to run the center, I can tell you, is not all of the effort and money that it really costs to run the center. We have so many different things that are supported by volunteerism. And so the first thing I wanted to talk about are the many, many ways that you can get involved by volunteering at the center, and we really do need it. I mean, most of the, you saw there's five staff in Sangha, but most of the operations of the center to keep, to support the spiritual program are done by volunteers, are supported by volunteers, and so there are many, many different ways you can get involved. Many of you have seen greeters or are greeters. Many people work on the grounds. Many people just do general cleaning, or they help tear down different displays that are up. There's committee work that's done. I'm on the Financial Development Committee. Just a plethora of volunteer opportunities. And so we're going to change the slide at the end to my contact information. And I want you all, I can be your single point of contact. It'll be easy to write down the phone number and my name, and you can contact me. And I'm not the correct person for all of this, but I can get you to the correct people. So we encourage you to get involved through volunteerism. The second way that we're supported is through donation, financial donation. And this is where we really have a lot of opportunity as well. You saw all of the lines on the expense report and the income that showed where the revenue comes from and to where it goes. And so I wanted to just take a moment, and I don't want to miss anything, so I want to just take a moment to talk about the different ways that you can donate. And so I brought props. I'm not a PowerPoint person, so I'm going to go old school, and I apologize to the people who are streaming this because you can't see my props. Oh, yeah, maybe you can. Oh, thank you. So this is a donation box. We have three of these boxes. Two of them look like this. Oh, yeah, here. And it says contributions on the side. There are little envelopes that are stamped that are about every other seat so that you can share. I don't think not everybody's going to give every day, but you can put a donation in here and just drop it in the box. Before you drop it in the box, if you do want it to go to a specific thing like pujas or teachers or the class, do write that on the envelope for us so we know where to direct your donation. If you just wanted to go to General Donna, you can just put it in the box and that'll be fine. We also have pledge forms. Those are out in the hallway on the rack. What's that called? Literature display. So you'll see a lot of stuff there. They look like this. If you just fill this out, you can drop this in the Donna boxes as well, and we'll get this, and this will be a pledge. We encourage you to give by credit card, cash, check. We accept most forms of payment. You can also go online to www.kadampa-center.org/donate, and you can enter in. It's a very easy form to fill out, and you can enter in there, and that's pretty painless as well. You can go to your bank and set up recurring payments. We'll be telling you more and more about this coming up, but you can go to your bank and set up recurring payments, bill pay. We also have, we're just full of it. You can really give any way that you want to. You can go to the credit card machine that's in the bookstore and just enter an amount, slide your card and just enter an amount in, and that will be a donation as well. Cash, you can always mail a cash in. I'm sorry, a check. What am I missing? PayPal online. Yeah, that's it. All right, well, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I do want to say that there are many opportunities for you to get involved financially and through volunteerism, and we really, really encourage you to do it. We know that the benefits, not only to everyone else, to have a center like this, a vibrant place that's alive and growing, but also the benefits to yourself are immense as well. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello. You probably covered this, and I probably just missed it, but now that the Stupa project is complete, what about the bookstore proceeds? What will they be going to?
I have a clarification. based on from Lama Zopa Rinpoche. It's kind of an FPMT rule that any money made by selling Dharma text, i.e., books in the bookstore, can't be used for mundane purposes like paying the electric bill or the mortgage. It has to be go to something like the Stupa Project or a circumambulation path that's part of the spiritual program. So there's some guidelines on what we can use that money for. It can't go into the general operating expenses of the center.
Yep. On to the closing prayers.
Thank you,
David. You're welcome.
Before we say the prayers, which is on the first pink sheet in the white prayer book, I'd like to read the prayer list. Prayers for happy rebirth, all those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all the Tibetans who have been killed or have been taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom, Venerable Sophia Sue, Frank Ferreira, Herbert Greaves, Allison Haar, Barney the Dog, Mikey the Dog, Oakley the Dog, Job Search, Daniel Dimitrov, David Hayes, Prayers for Health and Well-Being, Gyabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, Venerable Cherky Lamo, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Jim Barnes, Wayne Brannan, Susan Daniel, Mildred Gooch, Allison Hart's family, Sharon Hill, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Shelley Miller, Ian Mahler, Adrian Oliver, Jay Pandya, Aunt Polly, Ralph and Lee Powell and family, Chuck and Faye Renard, Jason Lee Roman, Rubin family, Dr. Albert Sontz, Greg Shario, Rosemary Cease, Maria Stallnaker, David Allen Slanger, Lori Todd, Mike Truffer and Sue Clifton, Dion Washington, Kathy Wormser, Judith Wormser, Betsy Yop, Scoopy the Dog, Teddy the Dog. If you have any names you'd like to add, would you please say them now? May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Majjhana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re so ha.